January 2006 dawned with great optimism and hope in Iraq as the previous month's parliamentary elections were certified. Many believed the transformation from Saddam Hussein's brutal dictatorship to stable democracy was close at hand. But those dreams were shattered in February when a massive bomb destroyed the holiest Shiite site in Iraq, the Al-Askariya Mosque in Samarra. The nation teetered on the brink of civil war as sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shiites spiraled out of control. Even the death in June of al-Qaeda's leader in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, did nothing to stem the bloodshed. Caught in the middle, in August, U.S. and Iraqi troops launched a major operation in an attempt to restore order to Baghdad. But by year's end, U.S. commanders acknowledged efforts to bring peace to the city had made little progress. Progress was made in holding former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein accountable for crimes against his people when he was found guilty and sentenced to death for the executions of 148 Shiite men and boys from the town of Dujail in the 1980s. The violence and rising death toll in Iraq dominated the news throughout 2006, leading President Bush at a December news conference to make this candid assessment.
It's bad in Iraq.
And Iraq made it bad politically for the president in 2006 as Americans voted for historic change in the United States after a campaign many in both political parties saw as a referendum on the president's Iraq policy. The opposition Democratic Party swept into control of both houses of Congress. This political shift prompted the president to fire his longtime defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, as well as conduct an extensive re-evaluation of his Iraq policy. Meanwhile, it was a year of change in Afghanistan. Security and peacekeeping duties were passed from U.S. forces to NATO. But a resurgent Taliban, employing tactics honed by insurgents in Iraq, complicated the security situation and prompted NATO to significantly increase its troop strength by year's end. 2006 was a year of transition and turmoil in the Middle East peace process. After Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's massive stroke in January, Ehud Olmert assumed control of the Israeli government and promised to continue peace efforts with the Palestinians. But those efforts faltered weeks later when Palestinian voters handed a landslide victory to the Islamic militant group Hamas. In response, Israel and the U.S. cut off payments promised to the Palestinians under the 1993 Oslo Peace Accords. Tensions between Israel and the Palestinians escalated, setting off a confrontation in June after Palestinian militants kidnapped an Israeli soldier. Israel responded by attacking key infrastructure in Gaza. 2 weeks later, Hezbollah militants in southern Lebanon took two more Israeli soldiers hostage. Mr. Olmert declared the kidnapping an act of war. Israeli warplanes and troops swept into Lebanon, and Hezbollah targets throughout the country. Over the next month, the two sides would battle to a stalemate, leaving more than 1,400 dead and massive destruction across Lebanon. Half a world away, North Korea defied urgent pleas and intense pressure from its neighbors to detonate its first nuclear bomb in October. The international community moved swiftly to condemn the test, and the UN Security Council passed tough sanctions against Pyongyang.
Thank you.
By December, North Korea had agreed to return to the stalled six-party disarmament talks with Japan, South Korea, Russia, China, and the United States. Iran's nuclear development program continued and even escalated in 2006, with its actual goal still unclear. Tehran says its program is intended for peaceful energy production. But Western nations believe Iran's goal is to create its own nuclear weapon, spawning fears that such a provocative move could lead to a regional nuclear arms race. Iran responded to a UN Security Council demand to halt uranium enrichment with delays and a series of half-steps, leading many experts to believe that Iran has no intention of giving up its nuclear enrichment program. While the UN worked to stave off a nuclear cataclysm, Indonesia once again faced the fury of nature. Just 17 months after the Indian Ocean tsunami devastated the country, a 6.3 magnitude earthquake killed an estimated 6,000 people in heavily populated Yogyakarta on the island of Java and left hundreds of thousands of people homeless. Rumors that Cuba's president Fidel Castro was terminally ill made headlines during 2006. His brother Raul, Cuba's defense minister, became acting president, but has kept a low profile. U.S. officials believe the 80-year-old Cuban dictator suffers from terminal cancer, but the Castro government denies those claims. In Sudan's war-ravaged Darfur region, a May peace deal between Sudan and the main Darfur rebel group did little to stop the violence, which is now spilled across Sudan's border into neighboring Chad and Central African Republic. Since 2003, more than 200,000 people have been killed and 2.5 million driven from their homes in brutal ethnic and tribal warfare. Sudan has rejected deployment of a UN peacekeeping force in Darfur, insisting instead that a small, overwhelmed African Union force already there be strengthened. As the year came to an end, the international community was considering possible military options. Jim Bertel, VOA News.
We discussed the report I received yesterday from the Iraq Study Group. Britain and America are old allies, and the Prime Minister and I are strong friends. But Britain and America aren't standing together in this war.
발전과 더불어 나날이으로 나는 성력 수요를 전망적으로 원만히 해결하는 데서 원자력 공업은 매우 중요한 의의를 가지는 분야입니다. 위대한 수령님과 우리 당을 선명한 영도 밑에 우리나라의 특성된 구체적인 핵동력 공업의 기초는 자립적 민족 경제의 발전을 담보해주는 핵동력의 토대로서 커다란 진심을 안겨주는 빛나는 창조물입니다.
旺旺英语网站 www.english.com 欢迎您的光临。